Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute.
If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a lovely day here in Hawaii, absolutely, I don't think there is a bad day. I have lots to talk about today, because I have Mr. Rod Tam, former city councilman, state senator, state representative, and Mr. Dave Moskowitz. And he is from Waikiki. And last week I talked briefly or somewhat about the bike sharing program. And this is a continuation of that subject, and I thought I would, because of Rod Tam is familiar with city operations and what have you, since I last spoke last week, there was a lot that new revelations and things that came out that caused concerns, and they may not be of concern to anyone other than myself, who's a taxpayer, a person who watches government, making sure transparency, accessibility. We want to know what they're doing because they're doing what we want done, in theory. So without any delay, I'm going to share with you about Bike Share Hawaii and Secure Bike Share Hawaii, LLC. And it's a tongue twister, and I don't know if it was intended that way, but we found some interesting things, and hopefully we'll get to weigh them out and talk about them, flesh them out here. And 524-1080, if you have a number of questions or one question or many, call in and ask myself or just toss it out there, 524-1080. Rod, thank you for joining me. And I tell you guys, I appreciate you coming in. Dave, thank you.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, so Rod, you, one thing that I'd like to strike up first is that we all know that these bikes are, I say they popped up. And why did I use that term, that they popped up? That was a bad description on my part, because a lot of the progressives or the liberal environmentalists who say that the bicycles are the solution to pollution. Now, you know, I agree with that, but it's not the solution when we do things that are behind closed doors. We step on people's toes. We ignore the use of the fair use of all the resources and a lot of things. So I got not chastised, but you get these. There's a funny thing that works in this town. If you point out something that's wrong, you know, the environmentalists say, well, we don't want the super ferry because they didn't do an environmental impact statement and they didn't do that. And it's bad. And I agree. I was on that same bandwagon, was still on that bandwagon. Let's look at the assessments of what impacts this will have. But funny thing, on the bicycles, the environmental community is saying, oh, it's a great deal, and it's a great deal. Well, it is a great deal, but the deal we're getting is not great, in my opinion, and what I'm finding. So, said all of that. One of the things, it's being passed off, the name of the company is Bike Share Hawaii. And last week I talked about Mike Formby, the former director of the city Department of Transportation, and where he sat on the board of Bike Share Hawaii. And so no problem. There's nothing wrong with that. You're kind of curious, why would he, as a government official, be cohorting with a nonprofit on that board, and he has so much say in exempting from the EIS or the EA or whatever. So we'll let that go. But then in the pursuit of this, I found that Mike Formby, the director of city transportation, in 2014, actually specifically 1-2-2014, at 10:22 a.m., he filed a document. And he filed that document was for articles of incorporation. He incorporated Mike Formby, a city Department of Transportation director, formed or incorporated this through DCCA. Why did he do that? And so make sure we're clear now. Article 4, initial office and agent, initial principal office. The mailing address of the initial principal office's corporation is, of this corporation, is 650 King Street, third floor. And initial registered agent, the corporation's initial commercial registered agent in the state of Hawaii, to which service of process and other notices and documents may be served on the corporation, is Michael Formby. And I'm going to give it to you guys in 1 second here. But then the initial directors in that nonprofit organization is Bruce Culpa. Bruce Culpa was Neil Abercrombie's chief of staff as governor. Then there's a Kevon Gregory Gogg, who's a director, and he was a member of this organization, but he also works for Ulupono. Ray Soon was a director in this incorporated bike share company. And Ray Soon, we don't see him ever removing his name or their name from DCCA, and we'll talk about that. But go ahead, guys. What does this look like? Am I overly concerned? Or do I have is this a fair assessment that something's rotten in Denmark?
Well, you're right to question it, Carol, because it's kind of unusual, very, very unusual. I've never seen anything like this whereby within the city you set up a nonprofit organization. It usually comes from outside, and there seems to be a lot of unethical questions or things happening whereby you have city employees, paid employees, and also a former employee of the state, Bruce Culpa, getting involved. And they got involved before they resigned from the government.
Right.
So it's very questionable. I've never seen anything whereby government would set up a non-profit organization. Usually, you contract out. And rightfully so, because you want to avoid this conflict of interest. But it seems like it was put together structurally as an organization from in-house under the Kirk Codwell's administration.
Mm-hmm. Why would that be?
Well,
why them? Why
self-interest? Self-interest is basically in money-making.
They say they'll not make much money. They have to pay back the same.
You make $1 is a question, quite frankly. Right. You know, it's not a matter of a dollar amount.
I'm just putting your name on the contract to make a dollar.
Yeah. It's very questionable, and you should be investigated.
Is it resume enhancement?
Yeah. Of course, you know, if you investigate it through the Ethics Commission of the City, you're not going to get much of a result because there's favoritism. Now, don't forget, the Ethics Commission is appointed by the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So he has his favoritism. They talk behind doors, so to speak. He can talk one by one rather than they're not allowed to do it where you have three people on the commission talking with each other. But they can do it one by one. Now, I've seen it happen. You know, I've been in the legislature, the city council, and I've seen it whereby they're pulling one person at a time.
I was just recently there.
Yeah. So it happens. It's a big question in terms of why the city put on this project. Hey, by the way, I got to draw your attention that these bikes cause more traffic congestion than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
They ride it on the streets without having knowledge of the traffic code, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they intrude in terms of a public right-of-way, and the mayor says, oh, we have these bikeways, but it's not bikeways on every single street now, quite frankly. And these bikeways are troublesome because they're at the intersection, which creates a lot of problems.
You know, recently I once spoke with Lori McCarney, and she did change her flyer brochures that are on the bikey docking stations. But, you know, I went by and I counted one day, and then I went by later in the day, and the bikes, numerous bikes are gone, but people aren't taking the brochures. They're just renting their bikes and leaving, so they're just riding. They don't really care about what's on the brochure. They don't know what it's about.
There's a brochure indicator in terms of the traffic
code. It does have the traffic code on it. It tells people how which direction to ride. She did do that for me. And to a good degree, I'm a bikey. I used to ride.
It's going to be used as an example, precedent. Then won't you allow people to drive without a driver's license, basically, by giving them a brochure?
Yeah, It's a mess in Waikiki right now with bikey. They're all over the sidewalks. They're riding the wrong way down the streets.
I've got to run down by bicycle riders in downtown riding on the sidewalks, and they don't care, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I really care about what Lori say or think, because Lori, in my opinion, got a better deal than the average citizen did. They've been at this for 5 years. That's what they tell us. We've been at this for 5 years. you take that much conniving on the part of the government for 5 years, they can't do anything in the open in 5 years. Look at the rail. And now look at just a bicycle. So why would it take so long? And so that listeners out there will understand, the documents that I recovered suggest, I was told the other day by a city official that worked closely with the bike rail, Mr. Sayers, and he said that Secure Bike Share owns a company. I then find Secure Bike Share hidden in a little building there at 914 Ala Moana Boulevard on the second level. That's how this address is described. And it's a Singapore-based company that have just got their articles and registered their business in February of this year. But they've been working at it, they say, for 5 years. So 5 years of hoodwinking and then placing city officials in the midst of this. If the city had intentions of a bicycle program, then I believe the city should have looked at its procurement rules, should have been RFPs. The city generated that if it's city business. And that, but instead, they quietly put the chiefs of staffs on them. Something is awry here.
Did you know that the people who created with the Vikey bikes, who developed them out of Canada, had gone into bankruptcy about 5.5 years ago? This may be the people, the Singapore-based people, that brought them out of bankruptcy financially. Could well be.
Now, you're from the Waikiki District, and what caught my eye, the Waikiki Improvement Association. There's Mr. Rick Eggett, who's the president and director of that. He sits on the board now, or directors, of the Bike Share Hawaii. Why this love affair with certain people? I question that, because it clearly didn't. They say, well, we had meetings and invited the public, but if you're the kind of public, the segment that want to come in and lick their hands and kiss their hands and give praise to them and be led on as to what they want, that's fine. I don't attend those kinds of meetings, because I always am concerned that there's behind-the-scene nonsense behavior that's going on.
You know, the bike share thing was brought up at the Waikiki Neighborhood Board 2 months ago by Brent Chase, owner of Chase Rentals, a guy you may have seen on TV, who blocked the roadway when they were installing the bike docking station right in front of his rental place where he rents bikes out. We asked Rick. Rick didn't reply. Rick never admitted at that meeting that he had any involvement with bike share whatsoever. What's funny about Rick is they're now giving this gift, and he talks about blocking sidewalks in Waikiki, you know, street artists and street performers, yet many of the bike docking stations blocked more than half the sidewalk. And we brought that up, and he had no comment. You know, and there's a big conflict for him to be in this position of working for the major hotels, people who pay to be in his organization, and then he goes and he works for a nonprofit that blocks the sidewalks, and then he doesn't admit that he had any part of being in the situation. It was supposed to have been a meeting this last couple weeks ago, with Lori coming to Waikiki Neighborhood Board. It never happened. I don't know why. But
she never came to the...
She didn't show up.
Well, why would she, when they already got the director...
I think she's avoiding...
The Waikiki Association there involved.
Now that I know that, I'm going to be telegraphing that.
That's why you need to listen to the Carol Cox Show. You'll find things that you won't find at those little cute little meetings that they give you a bowl of chili... Yeah. And treat you like you're silly.
Oh, not me. Bob Finley looks at me like, why is he here again?
But, again, I'm making a lot to do of nothing, I guess. I hope I'm not. But,
no.
Unlike you, Rod, and I agree with you and share your same concerns, the quote, Ethics Commission, if you heard my comments early on, where I've gone to the Ethics Commission with witnesses and city workers and what have you, and they, at the time, Chuck Tato, I mean, as famous as he is and as special as he is to some people, he dogged me out as far as a watchdog and giving him information. He just sent things under the bridge. you know. And
well, he's appointed by the mayor, and he was a former mayor of all the past, like Peter Carlisle, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the board members were appointed by Peter Carlisle as mayor. In fact, you know, it's interesting, it's brought, been brought to my attention that Chuck Tato is under investigation right now by the State Ethics Commission for misuse of his P card or credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, why would the city give him a credit card when he only had 3 staff people?
Well, he might need to buy trash bags.
Okay.
You know, for shredding the documents that he's capable of shredding. But when we talk about the Ethics Commission, so that the listeners out there understand, I believe and put my voice behind what I say and what I believe. So I investigated this and to the point where I believe that there's an ethical violation.
Right.
And the city ethics. So, for example, on these violations, I'm holding in my hand right now, this is, here you go, financial disclosures from Mike Formby, from Ray Soon. Here you go.
So,
basically, now, this thing could spin out of control or go, for me, it could go either way. Maybe there's nothing sinister about this behavior, and maybe it's just an innocent act. But I'm familiar with certain portions of the, procurement process. And I'm familiar with some of the ethics. So if you belong to a nonprofit organization and you've incorporated or you're an officer, you should be declaring that. Am I correct? Is that consistent?
Yes.
But on these documents that I have here, the disclosure of financial interest for 2014 for Mike Formby, when he signed that document and incorporated, I don't see anything from 2014, from 2013, 2015, 2016, or 2017 to show that he was an officer, or not an officer, but he incorporated that organization. So, now, a lot of questions to be asked by the Ethics Commission. Their form, mind you, is quite scary. When you file, they're trying to look for efficiency. But what I saw in that form is the average person that's timid would be discouraged and antagonized and just not bother.
Right, right, right.
So this Ray Soon, looking here at the chief of staff for the mayor, Caldwell, in his office, he never declared. If he did, it didn't show up in the formal filings. Now, one might say, well, he didn't need to. Well, I went to the city clerk's office and obtained his filings. Now, whether he need to or he was just doing it out of the goodness of his heart, he didn't indicate that he was associated with that. Many other organizations he's associated with, but not this. So, what's about this whole thing? There's something that they were trying to hide, and I guess, is it to do with the state had about $1 million, I'm told. The EPA had money, and the city had money. The nonprofits, I'm told now, I don't have the facts because I've gotten some wishy-washy answers from the city and other people almost trying to discourage the pursuit of this. So I'm going to loosely make those statements because this is repeating what they told me, they being city personnel.
I know I don't understand. You know, being a Vikie and knowing this is the only place in the country where there's been this public-private partnership, what Laurie told me, the only place it's happened so far. And, you know, I thought when I first heard that the regular bike riders, people who are in the biking community would be the ones involved in this organization.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it's all these big names. So, yes, it does raise some concerns as why these people, you know, if there needs to be a city representative on the board and that's legal, that's fine, but it seems like it's all comprised of all
private individuals.
Yeah.
Now, well, go ahead.
Here's a big question, what you're trying to get at, Carol, is that basically you have city employees. Okay, they employ, and of course, Mike is no longer there. Resign, whatever the reason is, but
he went to Hart.
Okay. Oh, yes, right. Yes,
and then now he's Colleen Hanabusa's chief of staff.
Right. Okay. Now you have city employees set up. They're technically city employees in the past. to set up this nonprofit organization. It's supposed to be separate. It's a conflict of interest right there, basically. And if nonprofit entity makes money, and on top of that, they receive city funds.
Yeah.
So there's a collusion going on right now. You know, that was all about. It's collusion. Yeah.
So
it's plain and simple.
So here's rather than trying to speculate, and I'll toss this out here. So there are concerns this program might have on the environment, the socioeconomic impacts. They all should be considered, right? And, I mean, that's just common sense. So an environmental impact statement or something of some similar document, when you consider the magnitude of this, the size of this, it's not just your little ordinary bike rack, as some of them try to suggest. It's substantial, and 100 of them so far taking up how many square feet of sidewalk and city property. I've observed some of them where the actual parking lot, parking stalls have been taken away, and then also parking meters.
Lost revenue to the city.
So lost revenues. Now, people go, well, you know, that's not a lot of money. Well, I want to know that why are we giving everything away to prop up this, quote, non-profit organization that didn't put any money, as far as I find it right now, didn't put any of their own money up in bulk. They found the money in the government. And then our government entities made it convenient and finagled and helped them get it. So, as it was described to me by the city official, well, we had this money and we needed a non-profit to be able to give it to and oversee it. Well, did you do an RFP? Well, no, we didn't want to. We didn't have to. Or we didn't. Well, yeah, you do. It's city. It's government money.
You know, in the following of the money trail, who these Singapore-based company, whoever they are, who these individuals are, have they ever contributed any money to anyone in, like the mayor?
Well.
In any of his campaigns, do you know about that?
I don't know.
Some favoritism there?
See the way things are. There's no real campaign spending commission unless they want to get you. If they want to get you, like Rod Camp,
right.
If they want to get you, fine. But if you move to Hanneman and goes back to Pittsburgh and hold a fundraiser with Bombardier people, oh, God, that's right. Bombardier is now the guy is here. You understand? Yeah. So then you don't get the campaign commission is so corrupt itself and picky and choose. It's weaponized against politicians that they don't like.
It is. I recently had a meeting at the Ethics Commission on a complaint I filed against the mayor for a luncheon he held.
Mm-hmm.
And there were three family members at this luncheon for this Kakako cleanup. They called it de minimis, but other people, I said, other people have been violated and fined for the same thing, but because they're beholden to the mayor, nothing came of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know what I think in the end about the Ethics Commission? This is a company town in a lot of ways. If you violate the company's game, our plans, you get punished.
Right.
And they use that, as you said, as a weapon. So these people, they have a future financially in this town, and they're not going to go against the mayor and upset the apple cart by finding something that they found against someone else, saying he had a preference and that he had a right to do that, and that wasn't important. I don't understand how someone is of a different category in class than anyone else. I just don't understand how what's not good for the goose is, but it's okay for the gander, you know. He gets punished, he gets away with it, because he's...
Well, you know what it's all about? It's always politics, being a part of the gang.
Mm-hmm.
And the gang benefits financially or power, basically. It's all about that. You know, if you open the doors and you tell about it, the contracts are put on you, like happened to me, right? Well, they try to use the legal system, like the court system, because we have appointed judges.
Mm-hmm.
So that room politics, right?
Your situation, you didn't have the chief of staff for the governor on your team,
right?
Like the bike share people. You didn't have Ray Soon, the chief of staff for the mayor's office for the city, on your team.
Right.
But it seems that everything that got a little pot of gold in it, or you know, the at the end of the rainbow, it's the same people show up. And the same people employ their games and tactics and strategies of depriving the people of an open process, procurement process that's fair with RFPs. And every time, it's as if predictable. You can all you need to try to guess is that what kind of suit the snake is going to be wearing. But really, I mean, how are they going to be dressed? Other than that, you're going to see the same faces. In this situation here, there is a terrible stench about corruption here. And then I don't know, and I'm speaking specifically to the government aspect of it. I don't know any details about bike share, but I have a nonprofit, and I know other people would love to have participated in it. But let's take this call here and see what it is that... Caller, thank you. Have a comment or question? Hello? You there?
Well, since he's not there, let me say this. In terms of Hawaii, his politics, whereby, particularly in government, where you have to be part of the team or the gang, and the gang wants to use it in terms of power, or making money. That's going on. Or that must be the person.
Carla, go ahead. Can't hear you there. Oh, well. We're having problems getting you through, patching you through here, so. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, well, this is a small city, or a small town, so to speak. Everybody has relationships, and the relationships are used to make money or to gain power. If you're not part of the team, basically, you get into trouble. The allegations against you and so forth. You know, there's one thing about the all these appointments. It's all favoritism, basically. The Ethics Commission, the commissioners are appointed by the mayor, and it goes to the procedures of being confirmed by the Senate or in the state, or by the city council in the city, but it's only going through the motions. You know, when I was in the Senate, as an example, I had to go to confirmation of two judges. And so the governor appointed these two for judges.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called the Hawaii Bar Association, which gives out the selection. And I asked, what's the criteria? You know, honestly, what's the criteria? You know, if you are judging in a Halloween contest, you have criteria, right? In terms of who's spookiest or the ugliest or whatever it may be. But, and the selection commission of the Hawaii Bar Association said, oh, we don't have criteria. Go and interview the person. So I called up the individual, and I said, I want to interview you and bring your resume to my office and so forth. And we talked story, but I didn't have any criteria. The resume looks nice, you know, experience and so forth, but how do I know the guy is sincere? He's for the public, right? And, so then after I interviewed him, I got a call from his wife. And so it happens that I know the wife from JC's in my younger days.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the 20s, I was a member of the Chinese JCs. And this person was nominated to Circuit Court. Okay. I can't think of his name right now. So the wife called me and said, oh, Rod, that's my husband. Can you please confirm his appointment? And I said, well, let me see. You know, so I thought about it and said, gee, I don't have any trouble spots with him, basically. You know, so I said, okay. But, you know, today, if I was to go over his nomination, I would deny him.
Mm-hmm.
Because an arrogant guy, a Japanese guy, is took it caught. Yeah, what was his name now? Go ahead.
Was it Kawamoto? Was that the guy's name?
No, not Kawamoto. Welcome to us.
Yeah,
but then there's another one, too.
So... I want to adhere to the
Anyway, going back in terms of the bike share, it sounds really shady. When you think about it, once again, you have city employees set up a nonprofit organization, and you begin to wonder, is it direct audits from the mayor? Does he have a conflict of interest? Does he want to open up the procurement process? Why does he want to open up the procurement process? Well, you have other nonprofit organizations that may want to do bike riding, and they use it city funds also too. Now, I heard this, that there's a strong relationship with bike share and a former governor, Neil Abercrombie.
Well,
yeah, and then, ironically, you have Bruce Cooper, who was the chief of staff of Abercrombie on his board of directors.
Right.
So you look at those relationships, and you can see very clearly that it's a hooey, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the thing is that has come to mind is the environmental impact statements addressing environmental concerns. For example, the project does not have any way of using cash. Now, this program is supposed to be about clean air and reducing traffic from cars and the spillage and the rubber on the road and the non-point source pollutions and all of that would be generated by cars. But what happens is with Frumby being on the board, or not on the board, he was an observer board member of BikeShare. He incorporated BikeShare Hawaii in the state of Hawaii formally. But as a director, he has the power to exempt the placement of these bicycles and their stands and their kiosk and everything, exempt them from an environmental impact statement. So what I have right here in hand is that he, for example, in 2009, he didn't have anything to do with this, but I just decided to go back and see June 29, 2009. This is about exemption class 6. There's certain exemption classes. And construction or replacement of minor structures accessory to existing facilities, land acquisition, subdivision, and consolidation with existing roadways and involving total land area no more than 3,500 square feet. And corners, rounding corners, and minor widening. Then item 5 says, this is all that was in 2009 now. Accessory facilities for bicycles, i.e. bike racks. That was the only thing that was exempt at that time. That's 2009. Then we come back. He then writes a letter. I'm going to skip ahead here. And in this exemption 6, there's so much paper on this. And then there's exemption 3, a construction and location of single new small facilities. All it says bike path and bike lanes. This is pre Farnbury. Then when Farnbury gets in, it goes same exemption class 6, item 5, accessory facilities for bicycles. This is what he penciled in, and i.e., example given, bike racks, bike corrals, secure bike storage, parking, and share stations. Now, that's more than a minor facility. This is something that should have, and when you see how numerous they are, and how much is at stake here, and what's to be lost from the people, but that's what Mike Farnbury penciled in as the director of DTS in December 9th, 2014.
An important addition. Let me.
Hold on. So then under Abercrombie, this is during the Abercrombie Let's Steal from the People era. You know, the people that he so dearly loved, and you know, drive by, and you know, I don't know, was he vaping then, or was that You understand. I mean, but that yellow cab, you know, you get behind it and you think you want to call the EPA because of the smoke that's coming out of it, you know. But the problem is, this guy, in concert with COPA, in concert with Rick Eggert, three main players, three musketeers, handling their power on behalf of Mayor Caldwell, Governor Abercrombie, to get this thing done for a foreign corporation that hadn't registered in this state yet until February of this year.
And Lori McCartney presents herself as the...
Oh, when I first saw that, I thought, oh, how awesome, you know. But then you start reading, gee.
She's a spokesperson.
So what you do is follow the money. When you see this kind of behavior, you're guaranteed to see some kind of behavior that resembles nefarious behavior. I don't know what it is, but I've never seen a city or a government official go and incorporate a non-profit organization.
I was stunned when I heard about it for you.
I mean,
wait, what?
So Jessica Woolley was the person, the director of the state of Hawaii at that time, and the earlier one was Miss Kealoha. So there was no sneakiness then. But then all of a sudden, boom, you get this. A waiver, and the rest of the documents, previous years, has nothing to say about bike shares, and then okay, accessory facilities. He specifically said bike share stations. Where'd that terminology come from? So he penciled it in and exempted this whole program.
I think you just have to take a look at this.
Let me add something in terms, because I base in terms of what I do on the laws, what you can or cannot do, okay? And the structure and process of government, and that's my focus is all these years of 31 years in service, and from neighborhood board all the way from state senator, state house representative, and also city council. Okay, knowing the in and out, so to speak. Okay, and Carol, you're a professional on the environmental side. I see the what they've done in terms of this company, Bike Share, with the various players. They try to circumvent in terms of having environmental study. Okay, so here's what it is. The law says, the state law says, that the governor, the mayor, the chief administrators of government can refuse to have an environmental impact study. They can push it aside. It's their discretion, in other words. Okay? So, when you read, Carol, all this paperwork saying that you don't have to have environmental impact because of certain items that have been stated, I can see now with how their involvement is. They're trying to get around from having environmental impact statement, and they shouldn't. They have these government employees figuring out the wording how to get around it. Okay? So they figure they use this nonprofit organization to get around it, but it's also connected jointly by partnership between that the private sector to that of government. Remember now, when Lingle was governor, and we had those transportation passenger boats going from one island to the next. What was it called? Ferries?
Super ferries.
Yeah, super ferries, okay. And Lingle said, we don't need an environmental impact statement at all for study. I determined it because, she said, because the law allows me to determine, okay, as the governor. But what happened, the courts went after her, right? So they did an environmental impact study.
They ruled that you needed one, should have been one.
Right. So What it is cleverly, this administration under Kurt Caldwell figured, okay, how can you get around that? I know, we have a partnership, a non-profit partnership, right?
Well, or
so it's partly government. It's under the government, basically.
The partnership is just to funnel the money. The needed a non-profit because the government had the money. So the state health department is the one who had some of the money.
Right.
And I'll talk about it later
on. Besides the money, they also want to get around that.
Whatever they want to get around, there is a pot of money there. And everybody is passing it off as that we got investors and all, and the reality is the investor then should have been invited on the competitive bids.
Right.
Because it's something the city supports and wants, it's envisioned, and that'd been it. Right? You want, and this is what we'll give you in lieu of getting this, and you're going to cite these, and we're going to do this. That didn't happen. It was, we got this game going on, and we want this money. So in order to control this game, Mike Frumby has to be the incorporator. The money then, it's a non-profit organization housed in a city building on the third floor at 650 King Street, HMB building. Those are the things that that really matters. And
you know, there are other bike share programs, products out there besides the one that comes from these people in Canada. There are other ways that thing works. You know, I don't know if we talked about some legal things that are going on, have happened with, and it might happen with the bike share program, but you know, we discussed the licenses, what was going on with that, but something else is going on with them that we're going to be working on, and that is that they charge people $1,200 for a stolen or lost bike. However, when you go to pay for the bike rental, there is no terms of use or reference to that charge on the display. There's a sticker on the handlebar, which you see perhaps when you pull the bike out later, that says there's a $1,200 lost or bike. So basically, we're looking for someone who has had this charge, because if they do that, they're basically committing credit card theft.
Right.
On that, you have to, like, if you go to an ATM, you have to accept the fee, the terms of use of the thing. There's nothing like that at all. They're just going to take the money, and people don't know about it in advance.
In fact, I heard that stolen credit cards are being used to steal bikes.
You know, I think at the start, too, they gave out a lot of gift cards to people, and they referred to all these usages that took place that first week. But if you drive around and you see now, not many bikes are out of the racks. You know, many of these programs have failed in other cities, and they thought this would be the way to make it work for some reason. That's what she told me.
So
that, I still say it's dangerous for anybody that doesn't know the traffic code to be
there in
the streets.
Well, I'm looking at the foundation of this this whole process. I would give a rat's butt about if they make a nickel. The point is that they plop down on our resources, taking away our city sidewalks, impose hazards, put in place hazards to people that are ADA or just the general public, because many of the people ride the bikes and what have you. They're not clear with that. And so going back a little bit, this is the name of the company, Shelby Secure Bike Share Hawaii. This was registered 2/1/2017. Now, but they were saying, oh, yeah, it's a non-profit organization, and they're... The mailing address, initial principal, is Ubi Crescent, 10 Ubi Crescent, number 7, 24 Lobby B, Ubi Tech Park, Singapore. Now, I don't mind giving other folks money, but isn't this, the nonprofits here too stupid to run a bike share program? Or initiate a program out there. You put RFPs.
Have you researched this other group and who it is that's there and who they are?
See, that raises some questions. Motivation. Why? What's the motive for having COPA and Raysoon and Farmby on there? So this money, we'll talk about that money that comes. But I want everybody to know that February 24th, 2017, Secure Bike Share Hawaii. Change of mailing address. The above name entity from 10 Ubi Crescent, number 7, Singapore, to 1003 Bishop Street, Suite 1600. But they just incorporated now. How could you engage in a business if they weren't even incorporated in the state? And you've already engaged with them?
There's lots going on.
You know, this partnership between the city and the private sector, and he called himself a nonprofit. It's a way to avoid the procurement process of fair bidding, when you think about it. Because it's a government-sponsored activity, which is a partnership. So they don't have to go through the bidding process. If it was strictly a private nonprofit or for-profit, you have to have bidding. But when you have government as a partnership, you're going through government administrative process. You don't need a bidding at all.
That's never happened here before. Is that true?
So they got around the corner, so to speak, and they formulated this partnership.
No, they didn't get around anything. What it is that if people care, if truly care, there's enough information out there that I know about now.
Right. But people have to know the structure and process, the procurement code and all that, in order to figure it out. But because I was chairman for government operations in the Senate, and I know the procurement law is backwards, frontwards and backwards.
So is this a trial?
They circumvented in terms of having the procurement laws being enacted by having this partnership.
Is this
partnership
a trial
whereby
balloon?
The government is greatly involved?
Yeah, I think that... I don't want to give the impression that I'm wanting to see this thing continue, because I'm not the fix-it man. I'm looking to say something is awry here, something is wrong, and you're an abusive process, abusive government authority, right? That's my concern, and we're going to take a break here, but we'll talk about where this money come from and what was the motivation. You're going to laugh at it when you hear how this money come about and how intricate and how they finagle their way of getting it. There's no excuse for, there's an answer why Virginia Presley and others were at the meeting, the press conference, scheduled for a press conference, to boast about this and the amount of money that was given. It's something to do with justification, chronic illness, curing diseases.
I know what the mayor's desire is. The mayor's desire is to get good publicity out of it.
I thought to myself, well, kleptomania, I mean, maybe this will cure some of those people that swinging and revolving doors. Hey, there's money in that project. Get your friends. You know, get them together. Let's have a rally. And let's have a few meetings with some beef stew and bring in a few people and. So we'll be back shortly here, and this is the Carol Cox Show. Take care.
Turn off the camera.
Aloha, this is Carol Cox. Please join me right here at KWAI 1080 AM from 9 o'clock to 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You can also catch us on podcasts at carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. Also share your news tips with us at carolcox.com.
She used to be
Okay. Hey, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Beautiful day here again. And my guest is Mr. Rod Tam, former council member, state senator, state representative, and Mr. Dave Moskowitz from Waikiki. And Dave is quite active in the community on many issues. And we're talking about WikiBikes and bike, not WikiLeaks, right? But I wish they would send us some documents and show us what really went on, who really got the money here in the state. But an interesting thing I had promised that we would talk about. So there's this money, and everybody's eyeballing it. They want this money. Everybody, meaning the state, the city, they want to run this game called bike share, bike whatever, under the city, or the city condones it. And they've been at it for 5 years. So there's this money sitting there, and instead of just saying, putting out our setting what it is you would like to accomplish with this money, you put out proposals or RFPs, requests for proposal, and you know, the normal, healthy, democratic process. But instead, you say, well, there's this money, and how is this money available? Well, believe it or not, under the city sees this money, and the state and the EPA got money. So they found a way under the state Department of Health to get this money to these people, to channel it, or to funnel it, or however you want to do it. I won't say it's nefarious, but it's nefarious. Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion Division. That's who had the money. The Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, also known as a tobacco settlement. The tobacco settlement project strives to promote wellness and improve the quality and years of life for Hawaii's people through effective prevention, detection, and management of chronic disease. And so it fixed asthma. Now, I'm not doubting that these bicycles would help that. Give the money and buy some bicycles and give it to... I'm not going to argue with that. I haven't done a study to argue with it. But what if you have no money and have no credit card, but you got asthma? You ain't going to get cured by this through this chronic disease prevention system that the state set up and gave the money to, who so tourists can ride the bikes. You've seen many tourists with asthma or bilingual health services or cancer or diabetes. But if you got diabetes and you live here and you ain't got a credit card, you ain't going to use the Beaky Chair, so therefore you're going to die. Because this bike is the answer to all health needs. That's why they gave that $1 million.
$1 million is a lot of money.
That's serious.
It's unbelievable.
The state got involved through Abercrombie and gave the money and Copo shepherding and making sure from the state angle, and then they have their press conference, and then Caldwell shepherds it through by appointing Mike Frumby and then Ray Soon, his chief of staff, to make sure everything is herded and channeled to these people. And to make sure it's done right, we'll form the nonprofit first. Now, the organization, there's documents where they actually file too, using the same EIN number, the federal number. So it's puzzling. Why would they file and then the city file and give it a list of officers? Some of them are similar to the ones or the same as the bike share has. You guys have been here longer than me.
Well, you know, I see you circumventing of the process itself. The procurement code. Like I said earlier, basically, you have this partnership of government, in this case the city, and also the state, whereby they oversee it. They don't have to go through the bidding process, although they have this private entity joining hands to them, together with them. So you avoid whereby you open up the doors for other people to bid and compete. So you're able to get this money without any competition.
Yeah, and I mean, you got guy gatekeepers. You got the top dog standing there saying, get this money to these people.
But, you know, I got to admit, the mayor was smart, Kirk Caldwell, and former governor at McCombie, because they're behind the doors hiding. Yeah. And they have front people to do the work for them. Yeah. You know, the old scenario, you have a godfather. The godfather is not visible.
Yeah, but see, these guys are visible. Yeah. Yeah. Abercrombie is just that if people believe that, you know, that he was the righteousness, and Caldwell tell them anything. So these guys should be in jail, to be honest with you, with all of the behavior. And I'm not going to credit them with being geniuses. It's just that it's a flawed system, a system that has evolved where Balfour, for example, quite familiar with him. He's now the acting director of the zoo. Now, I'm going to get old, too, and I'm going to be able to sit here on my radio show, and I hope nobody calls me up and says, you're too old to do this radio show. But look, man, Balfour gets to pop up at every little opening, and what's the purpose? I think that one time they had his wife working for the agencies for the city. Is that goes back to the sugar days because Caldwell works, dad worked for the sugar, and they're all related. Bill Payton, and so there's this clique that nobody wants to talk about, but there's this clique that runs our government. There's this clique that funnels money. There's this clique that will insult you to the greatest length by simply saying, Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion Division is going to take $1 million and channel it to a company, a private company, with the aid of the city, to help people recover their health and guard against illnesses and all. But a large portion of that people, there's not one bike share bike in Waianae. There's not one in Waimanalo. But this is, and so they say, well, we're going to, in the coming years, we're going to do that. Really? You put 100 bikes down here, and then the people, it's based on getting the improving the health of the people of the state, yet your target audience or your target group is you're citing these places where the tourists gather.
You notice Kakaka was excluded. They made a somehow they didn't get any bike docking station.
Yeah, isn't that funny? And it's a contaminated hellhole Kakaka is. And why wouldn't they put a bike down there?
Well, it's controlled by this entity of private developers. I was told that Abercrombie is part of that board of directors, basically in private sector.
And I guess I heard he had some relationship with Lupono.
Well, actually, Kakaako shouldn't be developed at all, because that was my old senatorial district, you know, and council district. That place cannot take in terms of the inadequate infrastructure. What's going to happen? You don't have enough storm drainage over there. It floods right now. When you build more construction, it's going to flood more. And on top of that, the sewer lines are not up to capacity. Mm-hmm. When they really build more and more, anybody at a flushing toilet is going to back up.
Yeah, well.
And also their disposal is going to back up.
Well, you have the Children Discovery Center there, right? And then you have the old bus barnyard, and you have and it's contaminated like all get up.
Right.
You have the boat repair and marine yard there. What about the paints and all that that have spilled over the years in the water there? What about those mounds with the vents in them at Kakaako? Because it's a dump.
You know who sanctioned all that development? Abercrombie as the governor at that time. And the present
yes,
mayor.
Yes, great for all your funding
needs.
Mm-hmm. So they sanctioned all the development there, basically, which shouldn't be there.
You know, would you like me to share? A friend of mine who is the senior loan officer at one of the biggest banks in Hawaii is my neighbor. And he's been telling me this story about the vacancy rate, and it includes a lot of it in Kakaako. And he said the rental vacancy rate here, and it can be proven through multiple listing services through a broker, is really 30 to 40%. he said that these people who are doing all this development here, which would include these people we're talking about, are holding back, he said, the rental of these units that they own because they want to inflate the property market value, create a false, fake rental housing crisis, increase rents to make these future buildings that are coming in have some sort of innate value. And he said it's a fraud being perpetrated.
Yeah, well, did he say anything how the bicycle got here?
He didn't know about that, but this is, for some reason, he said 20 companies control this
yeah.
place.
But
yeah,
then you the same 20 the bicycles, companies. What you uncovered, my dear friend, is you uncovered a clique of politics. Mm. Yeah, where the money is from the state and also from the city. And then how to get that money is cleverly putting together a nonprofit organization consisting of city government, you know, on paper, with that other one, private.
Mm-hmm. Well, here is a, give you an example. So many questions. Now, I'm holding right now Form 990 for this organization, Bike Share Hawaii, right?
Yeah.
Now, initially they had Kevin Gogg as a director, Bruce Copa, Jeffrey Banisher, who was with HPU, and Laurie McCarney, and Benjamin Trevino. Benjamin Trevino said that he was receiving compensations of $11,731 and on another form, $513. And McCarney was getting $3,750. That was for, they report on it, 2014, while using the same EIN number that the city uses on their nonprofit form.
Did they ever produce, when they were presenting it to the city as an idea, any revenue predictions?
Well, I don't know. We're talking about the city. I'm finding this out. This is evolving, and I will make a request for records, and
yeah,
then we'll see. But
how much money's in this?
But again, look, I'm sitting there talking to Mr. Sayers at the City Office of Transportation, and he says that Bike Share Hawaii does not own this. Secure Bike Service owned this. As I said earlier, I went to Secure Bike Services. Secure Bike Services says, we don't own it. We're just performing maintenance. Now, who's telling the truth? Who's lying? I don't know. The point is, people are impacted by this. An environmental impact statement or even a traffic study. How would this project impact? If I wanted to build a barn and have a processing green waste, and it was going to get into the dump into Kalkonohua Street or the road, I would have to do a traffic study or at least speak to that. Where's the traffic study there? How does this siding this thing on this corner impact? Case in point, Chinatown, Bull Boom, and those, they put them down, now they would say it's not working, right? Traffic studies.
He just showed up one day. Like, we really didn't know. People in town go, what are these things? And they were just huge, huge devices that take up large amounts of space for these.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you government here, the state and the city is using the opportunity whereby it gives them the exemption to do things as
right.
compared to the private sector, like environmental impact studies, right? Studies
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And we got to change the law. Quite frankly, you know, if private sector has to do it, so does government have to do it. This is a way of using the bike share where they circumvented the law.
Well, okay, see, the law already exists. This is why we find Formby and COPA
right.
and all the other people orchestrating this. Here's why.
Sure.
343 of the city state law states that if there's federal state monies, state lands, state involved, environmental impact savings should be, it's a trigger, right?
Right.
Well, the state had money, federal monies as well. Now, I don't know if they took the tobacco you know, everybody stopped smoking cigarettes, so they figure we don't have to spend any more money because everybody's smoking vapors now. So let's get that money and give to our friends. And then, but, you know, I could hear them going, but how can we do that? Well, we will claim that it's going to come under the curing people because it's right. exercise. But it's not exercise for the general public. It's exercise for only those that can afford it.
And who are
That's discriminatory.
Here. And who are not from here.
And not from here. I think something's wrong. You know, they're peddling some bad deals here. And I just keep going back. When I saw that chronic illness angle that they were, that's how they justify giving. And the EPA, and as much as I hate to say this, Donald Trump is probably as obnoxious as anything you've ever seen in most cases. But he's on to something with this EPA and this kind of behavior. They get millions of dollars, and it just sit there. Now, 5 years now, it took him to orchestrate this lie. 5 years. They had this money in hand. Why did they spend it on educating kids not to smoke or something, but instead hold it for their friends because Neil Abercrombie and Bruce Cooper and those guys in power got a deal? We're a sick nation. We're a sick bunch of people. Caller, thank you for calling.
Sure, I've had an experience somewhere that might translate to the bike. I was in a hotel using an internet,
mm-hmm.
and when I logged out of the computer, somehow I felt confident that I did everything well. But then I looked around again, and I saw that my credit card was still being billed because there was another place that you had to say stop or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's an overview. So what I'm saying is, when a person puts their credit card to work in a parking meter or in a Bicky stand or in a parking lot, what, especially with the Bicky, what would prevent an error from occurring that would keep their charges on their credit card going to the point that it might show up as a lost bike or be overbilled and then throw them into a cascade of defaults because the Bicky computer emptied their funds like that computer might have at the airport if I didn't find that extra, that third turnoff that wasn't really presented that easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I can listen to any response off the air. That's all I can ask.
All right, thank you.
You know, if I may comment, it's funny that people have problems with their credit card. In fact, I don't use credit cards. They call me un-American because I don't want to get into debt, quite frankly. But you'd be surprised in terms of people using credit cards. Anybody can get that ID number. And it could be a third party along the line, and they use that.
Yeah, but again, this speaks to, if that's a problem and it's plaguing this program, then that speaks to our government shouldn't be involved in businesses
right.
that can't do it right, because we're liable, ultimately, if we're promoting, as we own the business that's causing theft of people, then we're on the hook. We, the taxpayers, on the hook. Someone, if we own part of the company, as the records show, that we incorporated, we, the city, incorporate that through Farmbury. When someone fall on that bike and hurt themselves, you know how litigious it is. I'm filing the lawsuit. There was a caller. You can call that caller if you're interested in asking a question, but got to have a little patience.
Oh, there he is.
Caller, thank you. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Carol, what's up?
Not much. You want to talk about bikes?
Yeah, so I got a question. How can bikers, like, get around with, like, how come they get hurt a lot, you know? How come they get injured a lot?
Okay, thank you. We'll let you guys talk.
Yeah.
Well, you know, first of all, you'd be surprised how many people don't know how to use a bike mm-hmm. properly. It's like you have to get a driver's license to drive
mm-hmm.
a car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take a driver's test on the road, right, to make sure you can operate the car. Also, too, case in point, all those who ride on the road with bikes, don't have to know the traffic code at all.
Mm-hmm.
So not knowing the traffic code creates the opportunity for them to get hurt.
So would this, that brings me to the other question that I'm looking for answers, is that what does the Corporation Counsel and the city lawyers say to this about all of the liabilities that come with this finagling or this type of flim-flam game that they're playing? Where does it lead? You know, the people interested in running the bike system, they're happy. Things going good for them. The nonprofit / city nonprofit, they're happy.
Well,
but what is the taxpayer?
You know, the Corporation Council really works for the mayor, quite frankly.
Well, whoever he worked for, they should have, the mayor then should have said.
They will find excuses to how to get around the law.
Who is the insurer for this program?
Well, in terms of government, you're self-insured, which is brings another point.
Yeah, well,
like, if you have a partnership with government, that means they're not required to have liability insurance.
So would that have been an incentive, an explanation as to why they had this relationship? They can't afford to get all the money. I don't know if they have insurance. We'll try to find out.
Sure.
And take this occasion to invite Lori on the show, but I don't want to hear about how good the bikes are and how healthy they are, because if they were so dang healthy, let's take some out to Waianae and disperse them so people that have medical problems all over the place.
Well, there's no money to be made out there. The concentration of the users will be in downtown.
It's not a money maker. Yeah. They say it's a non-profit organization.
Come on. No one does something for
see,
nothing.
See, like you say, double talk. You understand? So one guy told me, he says, well, you really can't make it out there. What do you mean you're a non-profit? I thought you guys were doing this on donations. Ulupono donated money. Howard Hughes donated money. You look on the little, it's not advertised, but they're just giving a little cursory acknowledgement. Really? So, you won't put them out there in Waianae, Waimanalo, Haleiwa, or what's that, Palolo, or any of those areas?
Or even Woodridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing, and most people are excited. Why are you bothering with this? This is a really good program. It keeps smog out of the air. Yes, it does. But it also adds a lot of BS. You know what BS is associated with? Methane gas.
But it's an underlying in terms of fraud and use of money.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what it is. It's most of that.
And it's being passed off, and the city may have answered all of these questions. You know, but when I get asked, why do you need these documents? Well, because you didn't call me up and say, hey, let us tell you exactly, factually, what transpired.
Government has no right to ask any requester why they need the public documents.
Oh, really? No?
Yeah, well, not within the law, quite frankly. I know. They called me Mr. Sunshine before when I was in the Senate.
But
and I know you don't have to explain why. It's your right to get public documents as long as you pay for copies of it.
Yeah, you and I, that's why you and I get along so well. You're Mr. Sunshine, and my mom used to call me son.
Rod's been a real help to me over the years in teaching me about process.
No, but it's horrendous when you know, it's like, well, okay, here he comes again. He's digging, and, you know, I love that paper made reference to me as a gadfly, you know, and it's like, great, because if a gadfly can exist in a climate like this, that means somebody's not doing their job. The guy with the big fly swatter is going to sleep and on vacation. You understand? Because no one has ever said that I manufactured any of this crap.
See, but you have a purpose in life.
Yeah.
Everybody has a purpose in life. Your purpose to uncover corruption in government.
No, make clean living.
Clean living.
And honest government. Yes,
honest
self-anointed.
Right.
I didn't flying on an airplane. It was about to take a dive into the mountain, and I saw the white light and got, no, this is me through my ignorance.
By the way, for those who are listening, did you know that Carol Cox pays for his own radio show here out of his own pocket?
Yeah, well,
He's true and blue.
Well, no, I mean, most people give something back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't have any money to go and give $1 million and say, and show up on the Easter Seal, and, you know, but because I'm trying to keep them from getting to the hospital.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to keep children from having to breathe where someone has dumped a truckload of dirt contaminated with chlordane. You understand? So
I'll tell you a story Rick Eggett told me once, and I hope Rick's listening. And he said, you know, people come up to me. I don't know if he was joking or not. He was at Coco Cove. People come up to me in town and ask me, what can you do about Dave Moskowitz? And Kent, he goes, what do you want me to do, shoot him? And he said that. So I know where you come from.
Yeah.
You know.
And that.
Good to be the whistleblower.
Well,
that's what I am.
Actually, you can call it in a general term for someone got a job. You and I, we're above that. Because being a whistleblower, it's an occasion that you might dare to cross the line and expose one activity. But when you see it around you, you decide to lend yourself to all of this. And sometimes it's a kind of a, not a lonely world, but it's puzzling because you're out there and you're saying, okay, over here is not just a pile of trash, but in 6 months from now, there's going to be some houses built here. And that was asbestos, and it was a dumping ground for people that did roofing and contaminants. And they dismiss you, and the next thing you know, they're standing there with Kirk Caldwell with a bowl of chili going, he's a good man.
It's like, you know why? Because he has a nice smile.
You know, my dad told me when I was, because I had a pretty good education, a couple good colleges. And he says, you know, if you don't do anything with your degree, at least help people who can't speak for themselves, educate people, give people the information they need to have a better life. And that's my job, if I...
Yeah, and you know, for example, recently the fire in the building over here, Marco Polo. It's about a week and a half ago, I called the state and I said, I want to talk solid waste branch and then the noise and radiation branch. They handle the asbestos. What about the asbestos? Did you notify the fire department that the asbestos? Well, you know, we've been busy and I don't know. That's not our department, but it's solid waste. Once the solid waste containing it, and well, you know, we're moving right now to Monona, so it's going to take a while to get back to you. And all I can say is that we don't realize. That's why I get really pissed off when I hear people saying the cops are wrong, the cops are this, and they do this. Yeah, you got guys that make bad decisions, but that day that I saw the Marco Polo fire, I saw policemen standing around there making sure everybody else was safe, and they didn't have not even a handkerchief around their nose. And then everything was raining down on them. So it kind of pisses me off. I'm not a defender of the policeman, but it's like, don't we be thankful somewhere? And then 6 years from now, that police officer develops mesothelioma or something like that, and there's not a single record to show that he was even there or that event generated asbestos. This is, and you have a mayor who goes, oh, we're going to make a rule now where you have to put sprinkler systems in. This is why I have a hard time digesting anything that he say or do, because when you look at the bike share and that he promotes that, he himself has high regards for it and all, right? He and Presley and all, there was a press conference scheduled. And they held a conference, I think, in talking about it. But not telling us that they took money from the chronic disease and prevention and health promotion division to give their friends or someone that they know who just so happened to be a former banker. Like, you know, they're all bankers, I noticed that.
Well, aside from the money making, so it's my share, the mayor gets good PR.
Oh, he's never going to
be
governor.
Because look what happened in terms of the rail issue.
So I was wondering, is he trying to relay that coming across and say connected to the rail, this is part of the mass transit?
Well, he's trying to overcome it.
As a matter of fact,
the negativism of the mass transit
communication. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, it just occurred to me. Is there any statement of the end-user license agreement for renting one of those bicycles? How much liability is a person up against?
No.
And again, I get worried about that unregistered return sensor and a person's credit card being run down.
Yeah. Well,
so that's what I'll leave with you this time. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
These are the kinds of questions that people, well, I don't know. They shouldn't do anything if they don't want to, but these are the kind of questions that I have concern with for people that unsuspectingly using this. And it's sanctioned and condoned and then put in motion by the government. The government should not be screwing the people
with their credit cards.
Or the government should not be facilitating other people with loosely run programs that expose the public to these losses or these threats or what have you. That's why I'm interested in this particular subject, right?
In regards to the Ethics Commission, this truly is a conflict of interest in terms of city employees trying to establish a nonprofit organization. And nobody can tell me that a nonprofit organization doesn't make money at all. Frankly,
yeah.
They make money.
So
they have savings accounts, right? Don't they?
Right. So now I read you the other portion that brings me back in full circle here to the expenditures of the nonprofit. So they don't make money. But in this case here, I'm not going to go through all the details, but they declare that Laurie McCarney in the 2015 had reportable compensation from the organization. $30,000. And the Benjamin Trevino had $75,000. But it's not a profit-making business, and I'm doing this for the goodness of my heart because there are people with chronic illnesses, and the state has some money, and I just want to facilitate the people in getting well, but we're just going to work on the tourists right now because we've got a lot of sick tourists coming in with asthma and diabetes and all. So that's how we're able to justify using the money from the state. Oh, and the EPA got money too? Oh, yeah, and we'll just take it and say that they're not going to breathe dirty air from the cars. You see, this is bogus, and this is why I say the EPA should be reevaluated because it lends itself to this kind of shenanigans time and time and time again. Case in point, you go to Michigan or Detroit and those areas where the poison water and the drinking water. We had a Department of Environmental Protection Agency in existence. How did it develop that? But here is on lobbying now. Benjamin Trevino, who was a board member at one time for BikeShare, indicated on here compensation paid to the lobbyists. He lobbied for, and this is his lobby form that he filed in 2017. He said he don't make any compensation. But he's on his 990, he says he's paid $75,000.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Now, I'm not making a mountain of a molehill. I just want to know, if it's a nonprofit organization, how did you get it? How did you get bumped up to the front? And because
so the use of the vice is incidental to a bunch of people making a lot of money in the process.
Right. I guess so. And if they're able to get money, keep bleeding government from different programs, and that's money that, okay, we have a contract of maintenance, and this contractor has the bikes, and they say there's hundreds of people involved in this.
They may not be making money from the ridership, but they're making money from getting sources of government money.
Yeah. See, and that's the biggest problem. Some of the nonprofits or the companies give a little money, and they get to get a lot from it because...
Yeah, and they're using the city's reputation to get these grants and loans, which is your money, the public's money,
and
for personal gain.
I don't know.
Sounds like it.
I hope those seats are comfortable because it sounds like we're getting I'm serious, man. This is
bikes are known as clunkers. I mean, I'm a bikey. I used to ride some really famous. I would stamp race for about 40 to 100 miles a day. Those bikes are clunkers. I tried to get the price,
from the company that produces them, and I think they probably already called them and told them not to tell me. I emailed them. I called them in Canada. No response back.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what the price, what the value of each bike is. You know, I was trying to figure out the actual cost of the system as a whole, you know, and versus that $1,200 lost bike charge. But nobody seems to want to tell me how much each bike, but they're called clunkers. And they're not really the kind of bike that's going to help you with health. I used to ride a $4,000 bike. I won't ride in Hawaii. It's too dangerous here. Mm-hmm. I won't ride here. It's too dangerous.
Why don't you rent it out?
Oh, I look at it. I look at it. It was Greg LeMond's bike, actually. I used to ride with Greg LeMond before he was the famous Greg LeMond.
Uh-huh.
And he was at Stanford Med School. And he sold me his bike, and I got it for a good price, actually.
Yeah.
Thank
well,
you, Greg.
So,
Carol, you don't. I want to go back in terms of the environmental assessment. Okay, you showed me a document where the law says that if it's a minor application, then you don't need an environmental assessment. And also, it has to show that it's insufficient, okay, those terminologies. But who determines the definitions of those? And this is where the city and the application to exclude them from the environmental assessment try to wiggle the way around it, basically. Because those terms have no real definition, right? So they're trying to make up an excuse.
Well, the exemption list that they have, the comprehensive exemption list for the city and county of Honolulu, each county gets exempt. So,
yeah.
And rightfully so, because if someone's building just a little kiosk for people at a bus stop, well, quite naturally, you wouldn't want to go through the whole process of an environmental impact. So that's allowable. But when you're creating fake nonprofits that exist for the city, now, I'm not speaking to the people that file their own bike share, because that's another thing. They file for bike share as registered in the city and the state. But so did Mike Farmer. It's puzzling. And maybe there's a good answer, or I'm just too stupid to know what it is, or...
What I'm saying is Mike Bobby is skirting around the reason for environmental assessment.
But you notice, we got to appreciate Mike Bobby, because he showed us something overtly, that he carries the water for anybody in politics, because he was a nobody at one time. You see, and then he got the deputy position at the Department of Transportation in the state, in Harbors, right? And then all of a sudden, he find his way over here. Well, he showed that he's willing to do anything that the team wants. He was going to take one on the back for the team, you see. And then, so now he gets a director. Then he slides in. He's already demonstrated, well, look, man, look at that bike share thing. I stuck my neck out. I lied to the public. I told them things, and, you know, and then I found a way to get money here, you know, that going to heal people. But... You know, and then they say, well, you do a good job. We need that kind of behavior, that technique over at Hart, because we got some people circling around there looking for some information, you know, and facts. Oh, I can handle that. Good. You've already proven you're good enough at concealing things from the public and abusing your right, your positions and your authority. So, yeah, go over to Hart and become the acting executive director. Isn't that good enough? And then steps in our new governor, Colleen Hanabusa, says, well, I'm over here at Hart, too. I'm going to go back and become a Congress. Isn't it sounds like we're in a dictatorship, right? I'm going to become Congress again. So she goes back to Washington, and who does she take with her? The guy that knows how to channel money to different factors and different people.
You know, there's a saying in
Mike Crumby.
There's a saying in business. To climb up the ladder for management, one of two ways. One is become a yes man, a puppet. Okay. The other is have that knowledge of how to do things. Build up yourself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Climb the ladder yourself. But most people get into high positions because they're puppets.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in regards to the Ethics Commission, I don't really, I think it should be a law to say that you, if you call yourself the Ethics Commission, then you must have ethics first. And then you must be receptive to complaints and not, you got to go to their website and see their new form that you fill out. And see, when you got people filling out forms and details, they could easily say, well, in your complaint, you only mentioned this. Well, then you didn't give me enough room to write that. You know.
The Ethics Commission, how many cases have they found violations in the last, since year? Of all the cases that were filed, how many of them actually came to anything?
Oh, I don't know. Is this pre-lynching of Kealoha? or is it, you know, you look at the makeup of that commission.
Since Jan DiMonte took over.
Right. Look at the makeup of that commission. I mean, the lynch party, as I call them, I don't care what they are, but the fact is, we have this kind of behavior, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's questionable. And these are city officials. Now, I filed that complaint. I'm likely to get, well, you know, we looked at it, and we went out and had coffee with them, and the mayor said, screw you, and then it's over with.
Yeah, maybe that's what Chuck Tato did. He had spent his money for a P card on coffee.
I don't know, but the problem is, and then when you go up to the State Ethics Commission, right, he left, Kondo left. But, you know, I had him to tell me on three major cases that with DLNR, I'm not here to carry out your agenda.
Right.
Arrogant.
Senator with Dan Gluck.
But I think Dan Gluck delivers a little more integrity and ethics, because I don't know anything much about him, but I would say this, from what the arrogance and the cockiness that I got from Kondo, and then to add insult to injury, he was named as the auditor now, of the state auditor. You see how this game's played?
You know, Jan DiMonte was under investigation.
Yeah.
Sometime, whatever came of that.
Oh, I haven't.
I asked Dan, he wouldn't tell me.
I don't know, but Rod Tam, these guys, they circled the wagons and did him in.
Well, you're not part of the group, your clique.
Yeah, and people say, oh, you know, you better be careful that. No, I don't want to live in a climate where people, you see everything around you oozing with corruption and conflict and what have you. That's not a free nation. It's not. I don't care where you are. And if you're not willing to stand up and fight that or expose it, you're not worth your beans, man. Period.
Carol, you don't live in fear. You live in fear. How can you live with yourself, right?
I live in fear because, not for my first myself.
Right, right.
I live in fear that we're an educated people.
Right.
We set standards for the rest of the world, supposedly. We have morals and values, and we get up on Sunday morning and do the right thing, and we're righteous. But when it comes to our government, we relinquish all of our concerns to the nonsense and management. That's what I fear, because the damage that it can do is far greater than someone plucking me over the head or bombing my house. Because I'm just one person, one scale on the fish, so to speak, one leaf on the tree. It's not about me. It's about, if we are a democracy and free, then I won't see that flourish, because it feels good, you know. And
well, you and I are similar. The more they hit us on the head, the more we be more aggressive.
Yeah, I noticed you got a couple of knots.
Yeah, you do. Lucky I have all my hair.
I've been so lucky in that regard. I haven't, unfortunately for you guys.
I still got to say, Rod Tam, I met him, he had black hair, and 80 years later, he still got black hair. What's the product, Rod?
You have problems, you look for solutions. If you don't take care of the problems, then you worry too much and you become fearful.
Yeah, and you know, I you know what's really
go ahead.
Really satisfying is that I overheard somebody talking, a couple of reporters going, you know, why is he always sticking his nose and stuff? Yeah. Now, this is a reporter's now saying this, right? Well, if you were any good and worth your salt,
you would do it too.
You know, there wouldn't be anything for me to stick my nose in, because you'd be reporting these stories in such a fashion that a guy like Craig Caldwell wouldn't dare show up on a Monday morning talking nonsense and getting softball questions.
Well, you know what reporters do nowadays is different from the days of yesterday. They do news desk sensationalism.
Yeah.
And the storytelling, it's not, they take a little facts here and they make a big story out of it. Like, you know, you catch a fish and you get, but it's a small fish. You say, oh, I got a big, big fish here. You got attention, right? And actually, I feel sorry for them because that's how they keep their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm lucky that I get a fair amount of coverage on TV, right?
Well,
and but, you know, there's a couple issues that they would like to cover, but often, and I just wanted to talk to people out there listening, there's some people who are involved in a couple of really big swindles going on here, and they're afraid to talk. Don't be afraid. Nothing's ever happened
well,
to
me. Well, fear yourself.
I'm not afraid. No one's ever done anything to me. Poor Carol's
been
assaulted. You know,
the person is more fearful, for sure they're going to get knocked off.
Yeah, I'm not afraid. Don't be afraid. Speak up, you know. And never tell people where you work.
Yeah, well, the situation is, the way things work out, is that if you see something, report it. You don't have to. I mean, I'm in awe of many of the city workers and the state workers, the workers. They'll pick up the phone and they don't give you a name. They just say, I know that you're never going to disclose who I am, and I'm going to send you a letter and send you the information and send you pictures, and that's the way it works, right? But again, these people don't fear media. Caldwell and those guys don't fear media because there's a kid glove treatment or a gentleman's agreement now, and that's, if you're going to be the fourth arm of government, then you need to be that as media. You can't be slapping hands with them today and, you know, drinking and high-fiving and all, and unless you want a job in case you get a wrinkle or gray hair and you no longer want it on TV.
There is a limit. You know, my thing with Caldwell, Gordon Pang refused to cover it. Yes, Gordon, you refused to cover it. And because Gordon doesn't like me for some reason, because I'm...
Well, I can't blame him.
I'm quite likable. Please take me to lunch. But, you know, he picks. The Star Advertiser is on its way out, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Star Advertiser will be gone in 2 years.
Really?
It's on its way out. They got rid of their sports section. The only few good reporters, Allison Schaefer's good in-depth Waikiki reporter, does a lot of work with me. Allison Schaefer's a very good reporter. It'll be sad to see when the Star Advertiser goes that Allison goes. She does some very good stories, and she does some detail. Now, the others, they just touch what they want to touch, and they have their own... And that's where I agree. There is... I hate to use the word fake news, but they have agenda-driven news, and it's not the step on people often who pay ads on their station. And Erica Engel, she was another person who doesn't like me because I mentioned they did want to cover a story about somebody's going on in a building, and so she blacklisted me at the Advertiser. That's fine with me. My Facebook page is bigger than the Advertiser.
Yeah.
So I don't
really
worry about the Star Advertiser.
Well, did you know that he was employed by the newspaper, Advertiser, but then when they started reducing his staff, they put him on contract. So he's not really a full-time employee. Yeah. He's on contract.
He'll probably be writing in the
midweek. Yeah, he gets hired on the basis of storytelling.
He'll be writing in the midweek.
Well, I'm hoping that while we're drifting to that way, we don't forget that we got a bike share thing. That
right.
And I hope that I presented some insight that begs questions, solicit questions as to how did we get these people in our business? Why did the city let it? And then the Ethics Commission. I'm going to have to write a longer letter because the indemnification, environmental impact statement, loss of revenue, it's estimated, this is what the city now said, $12 per meter on average.
Per day?
Per day. So 12 times the number of meters that are lost in not a day, so 365 days. I guess they average it out rather than figure. So $12 a day, that's revenue that we are not only giving them money from state and federal sources, but they're taking our resources. And then the inconvenience of parking is already a shortage. And so you take two out right by the St. Andrews, or not St., what's it, the church right here across from Honolulu Holly. We lost two spaces there. And so you add that up. And those bike lanes presents other problems because the trucks can't get in there to sweep it, so that's create leaves and clogging of water, mosquito haven.
But even emergency vehicles have a hard time turning now.
Right.
Because they take up the lane. And these bicycles park, you know, stalls are right in the no parking area also, too.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what the game is about. Hopefully one day you can come back and share with us.
I'm looking forward to your acquisition for these other documents we discussed in today's conversation. It should be pretty lightning.
Okay, well, thanks, Rod.
By the way, I got to mention, I remember the name now, the judge. His name is Carl Sakamoto.
Oh, he's still in.
He's still in. And basically, I was helping somebody serve papers to the Attorney General's office.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl Sakamoto got upset because he was receiving all his court claims, right? So he wanted to have a discussion. So he called upon this one person, and I went along as witness that I delivered these papers to an attorney general. And he said, well, you know, if you don't shut up, I'm going to have you arrested.
Mm.
And this was only a matter of discussion now, because he got shook up that I was a witness to it.
Wow.
This is what happens when you have appointed judges.
Yeah. Right? Well, we'll talk about that, and maybe one of them can overhear the case about the bicycles.
Oh,
where is our money? Well, thank you guys for joining. Rod Tam, Dave Muckwood, thank you. We'll be back next week. This is Carol Cox. And catch me on this Tuesday on ThinkTech Hawaii at 12 o'clock, thinktechhawaii.com.
Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday.